Merritt Street, we're building a new morning show where our guiding principle is to always value your time.
We'd love for you to join us. Be part of our community.
Each morning will be packed full of news, information, advice, and a lot of fun.
And we promise we'll never waste your time.
I'm Dominique Soxa.
I'm Fanchon Singer. Join us for Morning on Merritt Street.
8 a.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Essential television.
What's happening on the border right now with human trafficking?
We had 400,000 unaccompanied children, and 100,000 of them have been lost through the process. Health and Human Services, giving them up to sponsors. I personally have seen them on airplanes, have flown with a child accompanied by a man that's not their father. It's some stranger, possibly an NGO member. I question them. They have no idea who the child is. They're basically delivering this child to an address in Gainesville, Florida, or anywhere throughout the U.S. It's illegal to do that. Plus, the exploitation of that child. We have no idea what's going to happen to them. Not only is it, there's a lot of sexual exploitation. That's the main one. But lately has become labor, a lot of forced labor. And there was a big case in Florida where 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds were working at the slaughterhouses and the chicken farms. The human trafficking is probably at its worst, but at its best for the cartels because they're making billions of dollars in that industry.
How's the cartel making billions of dollars off of these children?
The cartels and the human traffickers and human smugglers were separate. There were different entities. Not anymore. The cartels have moved in and control all of it now. So when I investigated, there was a human smuggler, there was a human trafficker. They really didn't dabble with the cartels. Well, now it's the cartel owns all that because they realize the amount of money that these humans are paying. It's a modern day slavery in the U.S.
Okay, this is Valverde County, Texas, Del Rio, Texas. And if you look behind me, this is the open borders. It's a great vantage point that we have. If you see over my right shoulder, wide open spaces over the left, you pan around here, you see the other side is Mexico. And on this part of the country, in this part of the state of Texas, you do see some illegal alien activity, but mostly what you see is illegal drugs still coming through. The methamphetamine, the fentanyl, marijuana, cocaine, heroin still making its way into our communities, in through Texas, through the rest of the United States. And so this is what you see, ladies and gentlemen, is wide open borders that we need to secure.
How many miles are we looking at there?
That area in Del Rio, Valverde County, there's hundreds of miles of. So one thing is I want people to understand that we have a lot of natural barriers, canyons, and we don't need to put walls because we don't need them. We have people don't come up through there. There are certain areas where we know that they come that we would need additional.
Just flat as a pancake.
Yeah, it's just, Hudspeth County, east of El Paso, it's wide open. That's where I would love to see some kind of slowdown because I worked the cases of the backpackers just coming over with drugs, the SUVs driving through the river with very little water. The Rio Grande has very little water there.
Yeah.
And just driving through.
So I'm going to show you how easy it is if you wanted to go into Mexico. I'm standing right now on the Rio Grande River. Right here. I'm on the U.S. Mexico border right now, ladies and gentlemen. There's no border patrol agent in sight, but we know that the cartels and the illegal activity is right behind me. They drive SUVs through here full of drugs. They sent the illegal aliens with meth, methamphetamines, fentanyl, pills, you name it. This is the open borders that the Biden administration refuses to acknowledge. I am standing on the river. What you're seeing right now is the Rio Grande River.
So if your estimate is we've got 15 to 18 million people, and DHS, I want to be clear about this, DHS has acknowledged that we've got millions of Venezuelans that have come here, and that Venezuela has emptied their prisons of their murderers, their rapists, their drug addicts. They've emptied their rehab centers and said, we're turning you loose as long as you leave this country and go to the United States. And DHS knows that, and they know they've come here, and they know they've entered the United States. We've processed them in. They come, and they've got a passport or whatever from Venezuela. We know that they've come from the prisons and the rehab centers. We've processed them into America, and we have no idea where they are.
Well, some we do, and I'll give you some locations. By the way, and in addition to that, before I forget, some are coming with an agenda, are being sent. They are Chavistas sympathizers. These are Hugo Chavez people. They're socialist communists, and they're bringing that agenda purposefully in South Florida. In Dallas, Texas, South Dallas, Texas, there's an area called Via Dallas right now that is controlled by illegal alien Venezuelans. You can't go in there. Dallas PD doesn't even go in there. As a matter of fact, they're looking for private security people to try to go in there and contain the trafficking, the drugs, the prostitution, everything that's going on in there. And just like this community in Dallas, there's one in Florida. And there's they're all around. And it's the gang associated with Tren de Aragua, the gang, the Venezuelan gang that has attached itself to these communities and control these areas here in our country.
Would you say there's over a million that have gotten in the United States from Venezuela?
I have to check on that number for you, but I would say close.
Close to a million?
Yeah, that's a lot. A lot of people. And that memo, by the way, that memo, I'm going to try to get it to you. It's a memo. It got leaked. DHS admitting that, in fact, they were releasing them. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it across the country with the crimes that they're committing.
So Venezuela's murder rate is at the lowest it's ever been.
Yes.
Because all the murderers have left there and come here.
Yeah.
And we know this. Why is nobody talking about this?
Well, that's the frustrating part. There's a very few of us out there trying to do something about it and bring this awareness. Because one of the things I tell people, at least be aware, at least understand, no longer the days of being ignorant and bliss about this. You have to at least acknowledge that you have to know that this happens. One of the struggles I had was with human trafficking. I put a case in my book, a very, very right. graphic case, because I still got people telling me, you're crazy, Victor, that doesn't exist. Really? I wish it didn't. I wish that my mind and my eyes can take away the what I've seen, the graphicness of what a person does to a child. But this is real. This is evil.
Well, how can somebody look at you as a special agent with U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security Investigations, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and say, you don't know? You spent your life on the border, and you're telling me the cartels are making billions of dollars. I mean, you Yes. gave me the example. If they've got 50 that they have smuggled across the border, they've made the money from smuggling them. Then if they can't pay, they're trafficking them. Say they've got 50 that are seeing 30 Johns a day, and say they're making $100 a trick. They're doing it 30 days a month. That's $4.5 million a month. If they've got 50 of them on the street in Minneapolis or Dallas or wherever.
That's 50.
That's 50.
Now, out of the 15 to 18 million illegal, how many are those victims? I can't tell you that. I just know that it's a lot more than 50. And that's why human trafficking has surpassed the drug trade in benefits. It's now human trafficking, then drug trafficking after that.
Because the drugs can get used up, but these victims, they just keep working them day after day after day.
Until they dispose of them.
So if it's 500, it's $45 million a month. If it's 5,000, that's how you're getting into the billions.
Correct.
This border, which we just saw.
Valverde County.
Yeah, Valverde County. There aren't enough agents to cover that, right? You got to do that with helicopters and dogs and...
So there's a confusion right now of we need additional personnel. I always welcome personnel. The more the merrier. The more police, the better for me, for the country. But the answer is no. The answer is we need more border agents to stop this. Actually, no. Actually, the answer is no. We have enough. We have almost 20,000 Border Patrol agents. I think there needs to be a readjustment of those 20,000 Border Patrol agents and the duties of where they're at. Plus, at this point, it doesn't really matter that we have the 20,000 because they're not being allowed to be down there.
They're social workers.
Yeah, they're transporting, hospital watch, everything else that they're making them do. So it's not... But if you would to were to go back to enforcement, I always welcome more personnel. The more the merrier, but we have enough. And we haven't, you see, there's areas that we don't have to worry about the border, like I said, because nobody comes
canyons,
to there.
Yeah.
But the areas that we do know, sometimes in one shift, you have one to five Border Patrol agents covering a 100-mile span. It's impossible.
Yeah.
We're in an area that where the razor wire has been cut, and we have a group of aliens come up, including infants and children. They seem to be in distress, crying. This is not humanitarian, guys. This is no compassion. We have the Border Patrol able to assist and bring an infant over to not get caught in the razor wire. They're putting themselves at risk. They're putting themselves in danger. This is what we must communicate to the rest of the world, that you're going to become a victim as the infant goes.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I think back to when I was a kid and all the things I didn't want to do. I didn't want to mow the yard. I didn't want to wash the car. I didn't want to do a lot of things. If I had had funds deposited in a little account that I had, I would have had a sense of responsibility and a sense of accomplishment. And this is such a good way to keep your household organized and teach your kids to connect hard work with financial independence. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/Phil. That's greenlight.com/Phil to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Phil. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Every day is an opportunity to be your best self. But sometimes our bodies don't keep up with our ambitions. That's where Balance 7 comes in, giving you the edge you need to thrive. Balance 7 has been the secret weapon for anyone looking to boost their energy, improve recovery, enhance their overall well-being, and strengthen their immune system for better overall health. Now, crafted with care, their alkalizing formula is designed to help your body combat acidity, promoting better health and a stronger immune system by simply taking 1 ounce of Balance 7 three times a day. Most people feel the difference within 3 days, and that's why over 6 million bottles have been sold worldwide. Take the first step towards feeling your best every day. Visit balance7.com/Phil. That's balance7.com/Phil. Balance 7, where health meets harmony. When you say these unaccompanied children are coming across with the numbers written on them, you're telling me what Brandon Judd told me, because I asked him, are we actually using U.S. dollars to provide transportation and shipping these children off to unvetted sponsors, as they call them, who can be pimps, or they're running slaughterhouses, chicken houses, or whatever for these children? He said, yes, that's not possible. It is happening every single day.
It's our money. It's our taxpayer money that is funding this through the NGOs.
And we have example after example after example where we have confirmed that they have gone to prostitution rings, slaughterhouses, or whatever, we know that to be, we know enough to know that that's happening.
Absolutely. I mean, that's no question there. We have so many operations throughout the United States now, HSI, and everybody's still trying to do their job. They're still trying to do as much as enforcement as possible.
I've never met a more dedicated bunch of men and women.
Correct.
But it's like stomping ants at a picnic. You don't have enough stompers.
You don't. And sometimes, like I said, I hate to mention this, but it's the truth. It's the politics get in the way. And I'll give you an example. Even when I was still working, I was going to take down a mid-level drug trafficker. He happened to be enrolled at the University of Texas in El Paso. And he was a student there.
So he has a market.
Yeah, so of course, right?
He's not exactly studying geography.
No. He's making money, going, pretend to go to class, and he happened to be illegal. So my partner and I, you know, a couple of agents and I brought the case, and I said, I'm a big fan of Law and Order. I'm going to walk in the classroom with our raid jackets and flash my badge, and you're under arrest, and hook him up right there. You know, wanted to do that. This happened outside of the door before we went in. It was in a nice controlled environment. I get a call on my phone from my supervisor ordering me to stand down. I said, don't you do it, Victor. Don't you arrest him.
Why?
Because it was in a school setting. So I go, so who cares? Well, that's when the order had come down from Washington, from President Obama, saying you are not to arrest him at a school, at a church, or at a courthouse. So that's how it affects the field agent all the way down. So I didn't care. The guy's a bad guy. So we actually had to, we watched him walk out of the classroom, and I said, well, now you want me to go get him while he's in his car, makes it more dangerous for public. You want me to, this is a nice controlled environment. We love arresting people at courthouses because you went through metal detectors. They didn't have a gun, all these things. No, these are protected sanctuary places. You can't arrest them there. And so it started limiting our job. And what it limits is really is public safety. That's what it does. It puts the public in more danger. And I think now more than ever, the American people are finding that out when they're seeing or know of someone that has already died of a fentanyl poisoning, when they know someone that has been assaulted or killed by an illegal alien, and all of a sudden it's becoming too common.
How much of the fentanyl that's coming across the border is being seized today? What percent?
I would say 10 to 15%.
10 to 15%. And I've been told by the DEA that 10 to 15% is enough to kill everybody in America.
Oh, heck yeah. That's a lot of fentanyl. Because of the amounts that are coming in, it's a lot of fentanyl. And these seizures, by the way, have gone up. You've seen these incredible seizures of thousands of pills, and it's great, but it's only an indicator that it's coming through. It's the other way around. When I worked narcotics at the border and we started seizing left and right, that wasn't a good thing, Dr. Phil. It's the other way around. We knew that we were getting
That's how much
hit.
You're missing.
Correct.
If you're seizing that much, that means you're missing that
a
much.
A lot. Correct.
Yeah. If your seizures go up tenfold, then what's getting across is going up tenfold.
That's right.
Now, these pill mills down there that are pressing these pills, the pills are 100% counterfeit that are being sold on the internet up here. And the DEA tells me 40 to 42% of them have lethal doses of fentanyl in them, because I assume these are untrained people just mixing this stuff up in a bathtub. When it gets to putty consistency, they put it in a pill press.
And that's a good stat, because those are lethal doses. According to the DEA, 7 out of the 10 pills contain fentanyl.
Right.
So we're at a party. You take one, I take one. They both have fentanyl, but one dies and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's exactly because that pill looks exactly like a Xanax pill. It looks exactly like an Adderall. It looks exactly like an Oxycontin M30. It looks exactly like these drugs that are flowing on campuses, Dr. Phil. I have a 19-year-old in college, my son. They're flowing on campus.
And I understand the political differences in this, and I'm so non-political, you can't even imagine. I'm not sure I could spell Republican or Democrat if you held a gun on me. I put D and R is all I care about. I'm a member of the Common Sense Party, I guess. It just seems to me we're all Americans. And if our children are being poisoned, the estimates are 100,000 Americans were poisoned.
Just last year, remember?
Just last year. 100,000 in 2023, close to 100,000 were poisoned by fentanyl. They call it overdose. That's not overdose. It's poisoning. They're buying what they think is Adderall, Xanax, or whatever. I had a few people on the show recently that their daughter had purchased what she thought was Xanax. On autopsy, there was not one molecule of Xanax in her blood. It was all fentanyl and some home cleaning products or something, just whatever they had, filler.
That's right.
To put it in there. These are poisonings. Why is this happening? I'm very pro-immigration. But this illegal immigration where we have hundreds of thousands of Venezuelan criminals, which the DHS has acknowledged that they know they're empty in the prisons down there. This is like back in Cuba when they emptied all the Cuban prisons and sent them up here to Florida.
Yes, right. The Marielitos.
Yeah, it's the Scarface movie.
Correct.
In real life. What is the political currency to not close the border?
Well, that's the frustrating part because it makes no sense. And I agree with you. It's a nonpartisan issue. This is public safety.
That's like the two parties fighting over whether DUI is okay or not. We're for it. We're against it. Nobody's for DUI. Who would be for leaving a border open for murderers to come in, for drug addiction, come in with lethal fentanyl? Who would want us, these children coming through the wire? I have nothing against those children.
No.
But let's not bring them in and turn them over to pimps. What is the political currency? What is your understanding of why an administration on either side, this happened under the Trump administration, it happens under the Biden administration, it happened under the Obama administration. What is it that people don't understand about? What can we say right now to make people understand this is not a political football? This is a humanitarian crisis.
100% I agree with it. It is affect everyone. And I'm going to give you my own bias. I spoke at Derek Maltz and I spoke at the Lost Voices of Fentanyl. My own bias, I'm thinking, oh, this is a conservative group in Washington, D.C. The majority of the people that have lost their loved ones there were Democrats. And it hit me. The pill doesn't care. The cartels don't care. The human trafficker, they're not going to care what political side they're on. This is affecting every American and killing us. And this is the part that is very frustrating for us to understand why, if it's in the form of a pill, because if it was a form of bullets or a bomb, we'd definitely be reacting in a very different way. But because it's a silent, kind of silent killer with these counterfeit pills, there's no urgency. I don't know of any other terrorist organization, not ISIS, not the Taliban, not anyone that has killed as many Americans, but the cartels have. And that's why I'm in favor of labeling them as terrorists as well, so we could be able to approach them in a different manner, even the different manner that I did as an investigator, Dr. Phil. I had to identify you, follow you, surveillance, get your bank statements, all that took me months, and then I eventually take you and your crew down. Those days are over. The cartels have evolved. The cartels have evolutionized to a different state, I believe, in a narco state, in a narco-terrorist state, that they need to be dealt with adequately. And that's where the political will comes in, because you have to be able to recognize, to say, well, let's designate the Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel, and maybe the big ones, just five major big ones, as foreign terrorist organizations, which, by the way, would be under the State Department. Well, that takes a political will.
It doesn't make sense to me. How many people can get on a Southwest Airlines? 270 or American Airlines turned 70? If one of them was going down every single day, if an airline was crashing every single day, this country would be in an uproar. If 100,000 people are getting poisoned by fentanyl every year, that's 270 people a day, 365 days a year.
I've used the comparison of three 9/11s a month.
Yeah.
We're experiencing three 9/11s a month, but because there's no fire, there's no smoke, I don't see it. But I'll tell you what, just the other day, I already have friends and family members that have lost their loved ones to a poisoning. And I had and I'll tell her story. There was a 23-year-old young girl, because we have I want people to understand that people that die of fentanyl overdoses are the people that have never used a drug in their life and people that are highly addicted to fentanyl itself. In this case, this young girl, 23-year-old, her mother took her to get an oral surgery, was prescribed Percocet, ran out. Her friend says, oh, I'll get you some because I'm still in pain. Dead. Fentanyl poisoning. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. They're not, everybody thinks, oh, these are just sleep on the street heroin addicts or something that are getting these pills. Simply not true. No. I mean, some of these are first time trying to stay awake for finals. Correct. Or whatever. So they get something off Snapchat or
yes,
whatever. One pill. I've had one where we saw on their credit card receipt, they bought one pill, broke it in half because they weren't quite sure. So they took half of a pill. And they were dead the next morning because they broke off the half that had the fentanyl. These aren't time released.
And something I'll bring into the conversation that we haven't touched about is the role that Mexico plays here. Because where is the fentanyl coming from? Where are the cartels headquartered? In Mexico. And we need to address that. There is a big issue. We have the president of Mexico saying, oh, we really don't produce fentanyl here. And ignoring the crisis of the... You know, the president of Mexico now holds the record for the most murders under his administration with his 6 years over there. I think there are over 160,000 murders, homicides. Can you imagine that per capita here?
No, it's astounding to me. Watching the news all day can make you feel super overwhelmed, right? Yet at the same time, it's important to stay informed. So do what I do and add the Newsworthy podcast to your playlist every day. I listen in during my morning commute, and I get caught up on everything that's happening now, from politics to tech and business to entertainment. And you get it all in just about 10 minutes a day. Trust me, the Newsworthy podcast can honestly be life-changing when you make it part of your everyday life. And here's the other key point, which I love. The host, Eric Amendi, explains the news from all perspectives. I heard about the new school meal rules, limiting the sugar and sodium content in meals at U.S. public schools. That is good information to know. Search for The Newsworthy, two words, The Newsworthy, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
The first page of a book never tells the full story. And those news alerts and headlines, like the ones we get on our phones, don't even scratch the surface of what the story is really all about. Stories are like people, multi-layered and complex. It takes some digging to find the truth, but when we find it, it can change our world. We like to dig. The news on Merritt Street. Essential television.
We talk about these children being trafficked into the sex trade. Some of them are being trafficked into slaughterhouses, horrible existence, chicken houses where there's like 30,000 chickens in a barn and they're in there having to work in that not so pleasant environment at 10, 11 years old.
And the reason why is because the enforcement removal operations under ICE that does what they call worksite enforcement have been kind of not completely shut down, but not allowed to go investigate those. And that's pure politics. You mentioned DUIs, and I use this example. It's like the mayor of a city telling the chief of police, you're no longer going to enforce DUIs. Stop it. But you are going to pull them over, and you are going to identify them as drunk, and then you're going to let them go. Well, why is it wrong when it's DUIs, but it's okay because it's related to immigration? This is where we're at right now.
Let me ask you this: are we creating a lot of this problem by having a broken immigration court where it takes forever to get into this country legally?
Yes, that's one of the problems. And I've said it a lot. We need to fix that legal immigration system, because we want these good people to come in. They have been vetted. They've done everything they've been asked to do. They're not going to be a public charge. They're actually going to be community members here. They're bringing something of value to our country, and it's taking them 14 years to do it? Well, that's wrong. And so, yes. Now, which is kind of weird. I have people that have done it the legal way. My parents were the ones that did it the legal way. But those are not the ones in saying, ah, I'm going to give up on the legal way and I'm going to come through the river. No, it's a different. You have a very different type of migrant that's coming. You have a very poor, uneducated. You have highly educated that also come through the river. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, they come through there. And then you have the Chinese nationals. You don't know what their intention is. So you have I want people to understand, what you were seeing in Eagle Pass, Texas, mm-hmm. was the poorest of the poor because they were having to take the train. They didn't have any more money. They were already extorted and robbed and all these things. But then the ones coming through Arizona and California, they're paying big dollar. They're getting like a VIP treatment. They've flown in, driven to the end of the wall and walk over with their suitcases. And they have money on them.
I'm at the San Antonio International Airport. Just wanted to let you guys know what I witnessed these past couple of days and still here at the airport. Went into another tour at Eagle Pass after having a great, successful press conference supporting our sheriffs to finally declare an invasion here in the state of Texas. Went down to Eagle Pass and continued to observe more of the illegal aliens coming in and pouring into our country without absolutely impunity. Just come on in. Lawlessness. No laws followed, nothing. But then I get to the San Antonio airport where I'm going to be flying out of to go back home. And they're all here. They're all here. Behind me, counted about 25 illegal aliens. Well-fed, well-dressed. And this is not a humanitarian issue. This is not, Victor, why are you so cruel? Why don't you want people to come into this country? I want people to come into this country legally. I want people to follow the law. I'm a law and order guy. I want people to respect the Constitution. I want people to respect our sovereignty. We are not violating their sovereignty in Venezuela or Nicaragua or Cuba. As terrible as those countries might be, yet they violate ours every single moment as I speak to you right now. Yet TSA allows them to get on airplanes without any ID. The laws just do not pertain to them. And, you know, you could tell in my voice a little frustration as I film this video because I don't know what to do anymore as far as bringing the awareness. That's one thing, but something's got to change. We need to shift the burden back on these countries to take care of their people. Why is the burden been placed on the United States of America? Why is the responsibility on our shoulders to have to clothe them, bathe them, shelter them, give them health care, education, when they come from their countries? We're not, the United States citizens are not going to other countries and asking them to do that. Why does that continue to happen? And of course, it's the national security issue and the public safety issue that I'm mostly concerned about, because these people are not being completely vetted. We really do not know the reason why they're here, whether they want to come to work, whether they want to come and commit more crimes against U.S. citizens. It happens every day. I hate reading that in the news. And seeing that an illegal alien killed a U.S. citizen, raped a U.S. citizen little girl. It's happening every day, selling drugs. Yes, that also happens here. I know not all of them, but it does happen.
And they buy cars and they buy houses and they do this. This is our trip to Israel, where talk about seeing, I've seen other borders, but when I saw this one, you really tend to put things into perspective, you know?
Everyone just finished a briefing here. I find myself now on the Israeli-Lebanon border and a piece of Syria there behind me as well. But what's interesting about this area is that as the individuals and terrorists that occupy this part of Lebanon, and I'm talking about Hezbollah. And if you guys remember, we've had Hezbollah in our own southern border in Mexico working with the cartels because they need the money to finance their activities. But I don't know if you could tell here behind me there, we have a wall. Yes, they do have a wall in Israel, and yes, it's a full concrete wall to protect their borders from terrorists every day. These houses that you see here behind me, they look very nice, but these a lot of them have their own bunkers and are utilized by Hezbollah to occupy this village and this region. A lot of information, a great briefing by the IDF here in this area. We'll be heading to other corners. I just did a quick interview with Tom Holman and Sarah Carter from Fox News. It's an incredible trip, learning a lot, and what we have to do in the United States to bring that sense of urgency and protection of our public and our sovereignty. Well, this is the second stop of our tour here in the West Bank. What you see behind me is a tower with the wall and Palestine on the other side. And we're getting an excellent briefing by a retired colonel from the Israeli army and how they secure their border from Palestine. This is right on the border, right on the Israeli side. This right here behind me, this highway is the number one highway that runs from northern Israel all the way down south. And so the Palestinians were shooting at the traffic from Palestine into shooting at cars. Qalqilya is the name of the town inside the West Bank, Qalqilya. And it's Zone A, and I'll explain that later, but Zone A, meaning it's under the control of Palestine and not under any control of the security forces of Israeli. Very, very interesting. We just came from a port of entry as well. I've seen those before, but very interesting how Israel does their security and protect their lives and the intrusion from terrorists, Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, jihadists. Learning a lot, guys, trying to bring some of this information and the seriousness of border security back to the United States that is much, much needed. Stay tuned.
We've got a lot of military-aged Chinese nationals coming in. I'm told
almost 50,000.
50,000 for what period of time?
In this administration, in the last 3.5 years. Almost 48 and change, 49,000.
And the 10 years between 2010 and 2020, they tell me it was closer to 1,000, 1,200. So it's gone up to 50,000 during this administration. Mm-hmm. A significant portion of them military-age men.
Yes.
And I'm told by the border agents that a lot of them have military haircuts. They've got new boots. They're in shape. They look like they're coming here with training.
I've seen them at the border. When these groups are coming in, you see them. Well, you know, my training, anybody could see them. They're like, you either been institutionalized in a prison or you're a soldier. You're one or the other because of the way you're standing, because of the way you take direction, where you place your hands, where you place your feet, where you place your belongings, how you put it. It's a very
regimented,
very detectable, you know, sign. And I've seen them a lot. From Venezuela, I've actually had the Venezuelans admit to me that they're actual soldiers. They're soldiers. From Venezuela. But what did you do there? What was your job? How did you eat? Well, I'm a member of the forces. And you're a soldier? What the heck are you doing here?
This just seems to me our leaders are fiduciaries. It just seems to me that this is beyond poor judgment. It just seems like a dereliction of duty. I mean, we're to support the Constitution. This doesn't seem to me that we are supporting the Constitution in this regard. Am I wrong?
Agree with you. You're not wrong. Dereliction of duty is a very good term. People are getting impeached over it. And my concern is the well-being of the American people, public safety, national security. I've been in Peoria, Illinois. I was in Iowa. And these towns are highly affected now by cartel, illegal immigration, crime. And they were already dealing with high levels of crime to begin with our own people. And so they're like, well, we don't know what to do.
Final question. Are these cartels having firefights along the border on the Mexican side?
As a matter of fact, this past week was a very deadly week in Tamaulipas, the state of Tamaulipas, which is probably the most dangerous one right now. It's on the other side of Matamoros or Brownsville, Texas, mm-hmm. South Texas. And it's the Gulf Cartel versus Los Zetas and CDN. And it's always the same fight. It's for territory. It's for trafficking routes up to the border, right? You have Sinaloa Cartel take over the El Paso, Texas area, Ciudad Juarez, which I have never in my life thought that would happen. That was under the Juarez Cartel, which at one point was the most dangerous and powerful cartel in the world. Sinaloa has grown so much, has taken over that territory. But there's continuous daily fights in the middle of the day. A lot of innocent people are dead. Cartels versus military versus police, back and forth. And it's ignored over there.
And they tell me that the cartels have incredible armament. They got rockets,
RPGs, belt-fed machine guns, armored vehicles of different classes now. You've probably seen some of these videos. When I see these videos and how they're dressed, and I see money. That's all I see is billions of dollars that they, firearms, a lot of the weapons from the U.S., a lot of weapons that are supposed to go to Ukraine ended up in the hands of the cartel.
Really? How are they getting to the cartel?
Well, the cartel has money and power and influence in a lot of places that sometimes people don't imagine, and they get their hands on these weapons. They want weapons. It's illegal to possess a weapon in Mexico, but not they operate with impunity in Mexico. They carry weapons like in open carry.
We're sending weapons to Ukraine. Are they getting them in route, or are they getting them from Ukraine?
They're getting them in route. They're getting them in route. The same thing with Fast and Furious type of operations. You know, two of the guns used against us were part of Operation Fast and Furious. So they're ending up 50 cal. I mean, you're talking about armament that I think even the Mexican military at this point would have a hard time dealing with the cartels because of the sheer numbers that they have and the broad, and not just in Mexico. In the United States and 40 countries abroad, they have presence everywhere. These guys are highly sophisticated networks. I want people to understand, these are not gangs anymore. These are not your, let's get together.
These are regiments.
These are highly sophisticated networks.
On U.S. soil, we have some of these cartels that are armed and prepared to move and protect.
Yes, and they and some of the conferences, I show some of the videos of them patrolling in Arizona and in Texas in their trucks, fully armed, 50 cals, AKs, driving in our state, in our country. It's not in Mexico. It's not in Central America. It's not in Iraq. It's here. There's one in Phoenix where it's very scary. They're passing a trooper that had pulled over a vehicle, and these guys are making fun, you know, just driving. They're amongst the traffic.
In an armored vehicle.
But I don't know if that vehicle is armored because the shot is from the inside, but they have a 50 cal in the middle of the, and then they are fully armed.
Unbelievable.
And they're driving them. But this is happening every single day here.
We've got to get this word out broader than it is now.
Yes. And thank you for doing it.
You're going to help with that by telling us this information. And if you've got video, we want it. And I want to talk to you more.
Absolutely.
If you'll do it, I'll help you get the word out and you help me get the word out. You got the info, I got the megaphone.
On a daily basis, I still get the videos and the calls from sources and friends. And sometimes I don't even want to watch those, Dr. Phil. They're so violent. And I've seen plenty that I just start watching it all. I don't want to watch them because they're very, very violent. These cartels are very, very ritualistic and evil is what they are. And I've seen it firsthand.
Thank you for talking to me today, and let's stay on this. Let's you and I make sure we get this word out, because with your information and my platform, we will get this out. You watch what happens.
That's one of my goals, is to make the American people aware.
Well, I know it sounds cliche to say it, but thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. I mean, you put your life on the line. You've been shot up. Thank you for standing in the gap for the rest of us.
I appreciate you.
We'll talk again.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.